Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then looking in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful eternal counsel and wisdom found in your word. From Genesis to Revelation, your word is a book full of wisdom, full of grace, full of faith, full of insight, full of anointing, and so, so much more that has the ability to bless our lives so, so much. Father, with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to become passionate about being both faithful hearers and doers of your word. Teach us to bathe in your word, to walk in your word, to consume your word, and to walk in its wisdom each and every day faithfully. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We do appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the scriptures that you've given us. And thank you so much how they reveal your character to us, how they reveal how we can grow in relationship with you. And Heavenly Father, I just want to pray that you'd give us a greater understanding, greater wisdom, and that you'd teach us more about how to read your scriptures well. Heavenly Father, pray that even right now that we'd submit to your ways, that we'd try to walk in your ways more. And Heavenly Father, I also just want to thank you that as we read the scriptures today and look at the Ten Commandments today and look at all the ways you've called us to live, that they also reveal aspects of how much you love us. Lord, you've called us to honor our father and mother. And Lord, how much more do you love our parents than we could ever love our parents ourselves? And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'd reveal yourself more through the Ten Commandments to us today. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, I want to take time now to read an article from the AFA Stand that I wrote, one that's, again, of encouragement to all of us as believers, but to parents and grandparents in particular. The title of the article, "The High Priority of Discipling Our Children." If you'd like to get a copy, email us at joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to get a copy to you. Again, the title, "The High Priority of Discipling Our Children." Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. And when you lie down and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight.'" Again, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Again, Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. "Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best that we can give to our children is Jesus. The greatest gift they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we're very wise to do all that we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Once our child is saved, it's one of the great responsibilities of every Christian of all Christian parents to disciple them. It's our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? First of all, we're commanded to make disciples." Again, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. "And this very important calling is to start with ourselves and then move directly to our families, our spouses, and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some steps or practical building blocks we're to use? What are things we can do to effectively and practically carry out this very important responsibility? Let's consider a few things a parent can do to help their children to begin to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas, and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith as well. To begin with, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead often. Pray Psalm 91 daily with them. Allow them to hear you call their name in prayer every day. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Also, have your child read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily aloud to you. You can find shorter chapters, Psalms, or simply select given passages for younger children. For children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short chapters or passages after you. Some of them could include Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, etc. Also, ask your child questions about what they've read. What are 2 or 3 important things he or she heard or picked up? What stood out? Next, teach your children to obey the Word of God. Teach them to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. See James 1:22. Also, teach your children the meaning of each of the 10 Commandments and have them to memorize them. Teach them to pray the 10 Commandments every day for the church and the nation. And also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and or heart in this world. Some of these things that might possibly do that are celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics that they come across on the internet may captivate them and their mind and their interest. And yes, these things can begin to quote-unquote disciple our children. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts, their thinking, and their perspectives about life in the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results can be tragic. Consider some sad incidents that you may hear of too often in the news. Some of these news stories include a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing something from a store. Elementary-age children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. 3 young girls went off into the woods and 2 of them tried to stab the 3rd one to death. A teen recently walked into his school and began to shoot, murdering a number of his classmates. And tragically, we could go on and on with the sad news stories. Where do these children and youth get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often the devil, through the internet, social media, television, and movies, is discipling these children, too many of our children, in darkness. Too often these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these youth may attend church, but many of them, while they consume darkness and put so much negative information and ideas into their minds, may literally or almost never even open a Bible and read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our own children, and we have much work to do through the church in reaching youth in our communities. Yet greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to be afraid. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about his business. God can work through each of us as parents to help our children greatly in growing up in their faith. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims of this wicked world, but we can also help them to become kingdom warriors even in their youth. And as kingdom warriors, they can help to bring Christ, the solution to all of the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs him. Lord, thank you for every parent and grandparent listening, every believer listening that has a desire to disciple their children or children, period. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace and wisdom. Empower us to be diligent and faithful in the work of discipling our children. Help us to grow an understanding of the fact that it's fun to disciple our children as well as critical that we do so. Empower us to be faithfully about your business of doing just that each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
To give you all the praise.
music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're very honored and blessed and grateful to have with us in studio Maddie and Thomas Palmer and their parents, Pastor and Sister Palmer as well, Bill and Tracy Palmer, their parents, in studio with us today. And today we're privileged to have Maddie and Thomas, who are participants in our Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. They're going to share their speeches with us, and we're going to start off with Maddie. Maddie is 14. She's in the ninth grade, and so we're going to ask Maddie if you'll just go right ahead and share your Ten Commandments speech at this time.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 4. You may not realize what that envelops. On the surface, you see no statues, no golden calf, no little people on the mantle. No worshiping animals like the early Egyptians, or no worshiping the stars like the early astronomers or philosophers. God meant for us to hold him higher, love him more, trust him more than anything else, to lean on him as our first impulse, not superstition as previous people groups. We could still practice idolatry without even realizing it. For instance, after a bad day, instead of turning to God, we come home, sit on the couch, and watch TV. Or you stayed up the night before, and instead of going to church, you sleep in. Or brush off your Bible reading because of it. I know we are all guilty of at least one of those, if not all of them. Remember who died for you? Among these things, TV, friends, school, work, phone, family, or Jesus, who died and gave all for you. To put things in perspective, the TV doesn't know you exist. Your friends now probably won't be your friends in 20 years. Good grades won't get you into heaven. Work, you already spend 40 or more hours a week on. Your phone is an inanimate object. And yes, family loves you, but Jesus loves you more. How can we put these things above God? Jesus paid it all, and half the time we don't even acknowledge it. We have these things above God when we were on his mind, when he laid the foundations of the earth and laid down his life for us. The heart of our issue is laziness and lack of devotion, whether we realize it or not. When I was given the opportunity to write this speech, it was humbling because everything that I have written, I'm guilty of and applies to me. I hope when people hear this, they do a heart check and think about this. I hope I have conveyed the importance of having God first and foremost in our lives and not taking him for granted. He died for us. The least we should do is hold him higher than anything else. Thank you.
All right, Maddie. Powerful speech. Beautiful speech. Great, great job. Thank you so much again for sharing the speech. And did you write that yourself?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure you wrote that yourself? That's a powerful speech for a 14-year-old young lady to have shared. But thank you again. You shared a lot of wisdom in it. So thank you for sharing it today.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, would you just say a word of prayer for other young people that they would come to know the Lord and grow in their faith as well? Would you pray for them?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we pray that you would please help other young people to come to know the Lord. Help them to turn a youth group or go to church more or have things above phone, family, friends, whatever it is. Lord, we pray that you would help all of us in mind and spirit, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And Matt, you're going to share a passage of scripture with us as well then, so please go right ahead and tell us what passage you'll be reading.
Okay? Psalm 16.
Okay.
Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no God. I have no good beside you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another, God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is thy portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Psalm 16.
Amen. Amen. Maddie, thank you for sharing that. That's a great psalm. Of course, all the psalms are great, but thank you for sharing that. We do appreciate that so much. Next, we have Thomas. Thomas is going to share his Ten Commandments speech at this time as well. Thomas, this year 11, and you're in the fifth grade, correct? All right, go right ahead.
Hello, my name is Thomas Palmer. I am 11 years old. I'm going to tell you what the second commandment means to me. The second commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." To me, that just speaks to me because anything can become an idol, anything. Things like playing sports, video games, phones, TV, or even sleep. A lot of people say, "Oh, I can miss one sermon to watch a football game," or "I can miss one sermon to sleep." But in reality, the more you miss church, the easier it gets, and you start to get into a rhythm of missing church. Church and the Bible are the two of the best things God has given us, and we just throw our Bibles in the back window of our cars or choose not to attend church. We stop worshiping God and build up our idols. We make a lot of stuff our idols. A lot of people go fishing on Sundays or wash their boats, go to casinos. The list just goes on and on. Some people set their eyes and hearts on money, alcohol, and other things. In 1 Kings 18, it talks about the idols of Baal. Elijah said, "Let's make two altars, one for Baal and one for God." They took two bulls, and Elijah let Baal's prophets pick first, so they did. Then they doused each altar in water, and God struck fire down from heaven on Elijah's altar. That just goes to show God can do miracles, and idols are false. God is a jealous God. He is first. He is the only God. In 1 Samuel 5:1-5, it talks about how Dagon fell on his face twice and was bowing to the Ark of the Covenant. What a great God God is. What we need to do is have our eyes set on God. He is the one true God, and no one or thing compares to him.
All right, Thomas. Outstanding speech as well. Powerful and convicting as well. Both of them very convicting, but in a very good and productive way. So thank you for sharing that, Thomas. Well, you are going to share a word of prayer with us. Would you pray for young people that they would come to know the Lord and grow in their faith as well? Would you pray for that?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. A lot of people make stuff their idols, and a lot of people have trouble getting over it. Please help them if they do have idols, and we all do. We just don't know it. Could you please help them to get over them and get into the Word with you, Lord, if they do not know, Lord? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And you were going to share a scripture with us as well, Thomas, right?
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again, Thomas, for being with us and sharing your speech and just sharing the word with us as well. And so, Maddie and Thomas, are you all going to try to share your speeches at church too?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. You know, with this project, we do encourage the young people that participate to do that because, again, the same messages that you all shared, the speeches you shared, can bless a lot of other people. So, and I would encourage you to prayerfully, along with Dad and Mom, look for other ways to share your speeches because they can bless many, many people. So thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Good. Thank you for having us.
All right. Well, we do now have at the microphones Pastor Bill Palmer and his wife, Sister Tracy Palmer, as well. And I know they're very grateful and just proud of their children for letting themselves be used to the Lord so wonderfully. Pastor Bill and Sister Tracy, they made a trip up to be with us here at American Family Radio. So we're very honored to have you with us in studio. So I'm going to ask if each of you would just further introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Sure. I'm Bill Palmer. I'm the pastor at First Baptist Church of Helena in Moss Point, Mississippi. We're down on the coast. I've been there for about 6 years. Me and my wife have had a ministry going strong there for the entire 6 years. We are very active.
And I am Tracy Palmer. I am very thankful for our church and our church family and the ministry that they allow us to do. And we have the mindset that everybody is welcome. So if you're in the area, we would love for you to look us up and come and join us.
All right. Well, again, very honored and grateful that you all made the trip up to be with us and allow Maddie and Thomas to share their powerful speeches as they just shared. I want to ask, as we begin speaking with you all, would each of you pray for the youth in our culture? You know, there's such a big need for the church to do so much more, to minister to young people. Would each of you just say a word of prayer for children in our culture and ministry to children as well?
I would love to. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we just ask that you would be active in these young people's lives, that you would encourage the churches and the adults that happen to be in their lives to reach out to them, to encourage them, to draw them closer to you. Father, it doesn't take a special effort. It just takes us living our lives and reaching out to our youth. Normal everyday things. Your word says we are to share your word with them, your laws with them, in our daily lives. And I pray, Father, that we would remember that and take that advantage of that and do that. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for giving us children that are such a blessing. I ask that you would please prepare the hearts of the children. They have so many distractions, and the world comes at them so hard these days. I ask that you would please strengthen the Christian people to be lights in their lives for you, to draw them to you, to give the wisdom and the knowledge that is needed to be able to reach the children. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to ask Pastor Bill and Sister Tracy, if y'all would share what thoughts come to your mind as you see the Lord using your children as they participated in a project like this. What thoughts come to your mind about watching them be used of the Lord in this way?
It's amazing. You as a parent, you pour into your children. You try to teach them right and wrong, and you try to encourage them to be close to God and to seek Him. But when you actually see it happen, it warms your heart. It makes you stronger in your faith as well, because you see it does make a difference, not just in their lives, but in the lives of children around them as well, because they affect everyone they're around. We don't just pour in and teach them. They teach us too. There's been many times that my children will go and do something, and it just amazes me. It amazes me with their heart, and it amazes me how Christ is using them.
Same issues, Tracy. What comes to your mind when you see them being used of the Lord in this way?
Well, it thrills our heart to be able to see that, you know, the foundation in Christ that we have tried to lay for them in our home and in our living and in our own lives, that we can see some of that coming out. And, you know, not that they just know who Jesus is, but they follow Jesus, that they can share Him with others. And there have been, you know, many times and many instances where I've had to go home and pray to God and ask Him to give me the boldness that my children have, because, you know, I struggle with that. And so to see them, that's an encouragement to me.
Mm. You know, I really appreciate you all sharing your thoughts and your heart on that. And I think of this, that we've had the privilege of doing this, the Ten Commandments Project here at American Family Radio for, I think it's about 11 years ago when we started it. But it's been very rewarding. But as it relates to the speech challenge, every single speech has always been powerful that we've received from young people. And, you know, now the majority, our experience has been the majority of the children write the speeches themselves, which is good. But sometimes, from time to time, we have children that may dad or mom helped them, grandmom, whoever, which is fine. Because, again, the truth is filtering through their minds and their hearts. But it's been a fun project to be carrying out, but at the same time, very rewarding and encouraging. But also, it reminds us the church desperately needs to put children to work. They have so many gifts, strengths to offer. And, Pastor Bill, as you alluded to this morning in devotion, that many times children are sidelined. They literally aren't given much to do in the church, which is a tragic mistake.
Yes, sir.
So the need to put our children to work is so, so great. Father, again, thank you for the privilege and the responsibility, but the opportunity to help our children come to know you and to teach and train them to grow up in their faith. Anoint us as the church with a fresh anointing to be faithful, to effectively and faithfully be carrying this work out. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The Palmer family is with us today, as are their children, Maddie and Thomas, are participants in our Ten Commandments project. We'll be right back. Dunson Oyakhan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we have as our in-studio guest today, Maddie and Thomas Palmer. They were participants in our Ten Commandments project, and they shared their powerful speeches just a little earlier in the broadcast. We also have Dad and Mom with us in studio, Pastor Bill and Sister Tracy Palmer, their Dad and Mom with us as well. And Pastor Bill, I want to ask if you'll share what's on your heart, maybe in the way of encouragement. You know, the fact is, as parents, obviously, Christian parents, we're very concerned about the work of discipling our children. And, of course, this project is a discipleship project, along with whether it relates to this project in particular or just maybe other thoughts that are on your mind or heart. What encouragement would you share with parents about how and ways to encourage their children in their walk with the Lord?
Well, the biggest thing I can think of is to go. They're going to emulate you. A child is raised in the house. They know their parents. They see their parents. They follow their parents. You don't have to do anything special. You just have to include them with what you're doing. One of our hobbies is we ride motorcycles, and we have joined a Christian Motorcycle Association. And our children come with us. They're on the motorcycles with us. They go and they reach out. They pray over motorcycles. They pray over motorcyclists. We go on mission trips. Our daughter just went to Honduras and a few months back, and it's been a life-changing event for her. My son, he's chomping at the bit to go because he sees us going. And he wants to be part of that. And I think that's all you nearly need to do is just include them in your daily lives. We have a very small church. We run anywhere from 40 to 70. But even though all the members can't go on missions, they raise money for missions. We set goals. And just a few years ago, we bought 3 motorcycles for pastors in Uganda. And, you know, that's an encouragement to the church. If you're just sitting in those four walls, focusing on the people in the church, why would God bless that? He wants to bless immensely. We're putting our God in a box, and we're pretending that he can't work outside that box. God can do way far, far more than any of us can imagine. And we need to focus outside and move outside. And our children will follow us. They're encouraged by that just like everybody else is.
Would you pray for the church that the church would become so much more mission-minded in the direction that you're speaking of? Because you're exactly right that the church as a whole is supposed to be mission-minded. Every local church, the church as a whole as well. But would you pray?
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, I ask that you would encourage pastors, you would encourage churches to reach outside those four walls, to look around their communities and to see what kind of mission fields they can act upon. There's prison ministries, there's port ministries, there's homeless ministries, drug addiction ministries. There's so many things that are in our communities that have affected every family in the community. And a church can be such a godsend to those ministries. We can reach out and touch people in our own homes. We don't have to go around the world, although it's great if we do. But Father, I pray that you would encourage us to understand that a mission doesn't have to be in another country. It can be right outside our doors. All we have to do is focus on it and go. And our children will follow us. I pray, Lord, that we would be that example for them, just like you commanded us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, Sister Tracy, would you as well, would you share what's on your heart in the way of encouragement to parents that may be listening, things that are on your heart to encourage them in the work of both discipleship, discipling their children, but just discipleship as a whole, just things that are on your heart to share today?
Well, as parents, you know, we often feel like we struggle and we fail daily. But the mission field, it starts in our home with our children. And as Bill said, you know, they watch what we do. They watch what we say. They, you know, they watch how we act. And so we need to teach them and lead them in that way. And yes, it needs to be intentional, but, you know, if we just go about our daily lives, live in how Christ wants us to live and trying to set a good example, as he said, they will follow that. And it's, you know, the mission field is huge, but also, you know, how do you relate to other people? How do you treat other people? You know, there's often times that people will look at certain groups of people and be like, oh, those are those people. They are not allowed or they are not worthy. And we actually, teach life recovery in our local county jail to women and to men. And I always stress to them that they are, Jesus's blood was for them as well. They matter. And, you know, he wants to have a relationship with them. And, you know, and then how do you treat your elderly? We have an elderly church and children see us helping others and trying to help others. And so they try to emulate that, and all of that is part of discipleship and teaching them. But to be a good disciple, you have to lead. And to lead, you have to stay close to God, and you have to stay in your Bible, and you have to pray. And because we can't do it on our own. We fail already, but we will fail even more if we try to do it on our own. We need to have that close walk with God ourselves.
Amen. Amen. Would you specifically pray for believers to grow in their understanding of how to implement the truths you're talking about in their own lives?
Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, we come to you today and we ask that you would give the listeners the heart to follow God, the desires to want to be a good example to all that are around them, particularly the children and the youth, so that they can have positive influences and images to emulate and to try to learn to walk as you call us to walk. I ask that you will please strengthen us in our daily walks with you so we can go out and help make disciples of others and have them come to know you and then continue to replicate that throughout the generations. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And our time, we don't have a whole lot of time left, though, but Pastor Bill, you alluded to this morning in devotion, you mentioned about the fact that a significant number of the children in your church don't either have a dad or mom. Some may not have either parent in their lives as well. And of course, that's a reality in the world we live in that really the church needs to effectively address. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Sure. Many times you see churches, they raise money for their youth or their children, They want children. We want to bring them into the church, and we want to include them. But a lot of churches will do that, and then they push the children off to another room somewhere where they get a nice little story. But they don't get how to use the Bible, how to use the, what are the books of the Bible, what are the Ten Commandments. And that's why this program was so wonderful, because it actually opened my eyes to it. I did not realize how biblically illiterate our youth were. They knew the stories, but they didn't know the Bible, and they didn't have a chance to learn the Bible. So a couple in our church that felt the call to teach that taught that to the youth. They started the class. Ricky and Lindsay Evans, they got together, and they began this class, and it has been a wonderful blessing to our church. It's great to call the kids in. It's great to give them things and meals and wonderful things like that. But if we aren't saving their souls, or if God isn't getting in there and saving their souls through us, then they're just another lost generation. And we've got a couple lost generations already.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so powerful to understand, too, that one of the many reasons why it's so important for us to be diligent students of Scripture, to allow the Word of God to both teach us but to remind us of our priorities.
Yes, sir.
Because we live in a world where it's so easy to get distracted, but we know one of the huge priorities, the clear priorities of the church, make disciples every day. That's a huge part of all that we are and said. So in the last minute and a half, Sister Tracy, anything else that's on your heart that you'd like to share in the way of encouraging believers to be mindful of some of these truths we've mentioned?
Yes. You know, my husband and I are both products of praying grandparents, and had our grandparents not prayed for us, you know, we would not be where we are today following and serving God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always like to say, never give up on praying, never give up on people. Neither one of our grandparents got to see us serve the Lord, but not here on earth. But we are products of that. So when you pass away, that don't mean your prayers die. Your prayers continue on. So if you've got someone in your family who, you know, you've exhausted your prayers and your knees are worn out from being on your knees for them, continue on. Don't give up. Don't give up hope until, you know, until they take their last breath. There's always hope for them to come to know Jesus.
Mm. And, of course, they're watching from the grandstands of heaven and cheering you on as you do what you do for the Lord today. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Well, our time is just about gone, though. Pastor Bill, if someone maybe lives in the area where you are and would like to come visit your church, tell them how they could get there.
Sure thing. We're just north of I-10. You get off on exit 69 and turn north and then turn right on the first road. You go past the airport. And you'll come to a little town with a gas station and a church. We're that church.
Okay, and tell them the city again.
It's in Moss Point, Mississippi. The actual name of the church is Helena. It's a little community just north of there.
Mm-hmm. All righty then. Well, again, thank you all so much for being with us today. And I want to say one more time again, thank you, Maddie and Thomas, for the powerful messages that you shared, the speeches that you did. We're very grateful for you, both of you, and all the other young people that participated in the project. And you're going to bless a lot of people. So thank you all, and keep up the great work. Again, and Pastor Bill and Sister Tracy, keep up the great work serving the Lord as well, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the very important step, the eternally important step of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Today is a good day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make the step of asking Christ to come into your heart to save you and make you brand new, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with us and make that step? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You live. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again. That's joseph@afr.net. If you wanted to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, the title, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.